We usually get two trucks a week, Wednesday and Saturday. And they told us one Monday we were going to get a truck in on a Monday. And it was going to be specials. And so the store manager said, well, it'll probably be about 15,000 pounds, which is not big at all. You can unload that in maybe an hour or two. Well, when the truck came in, it was so big they had to put it in two trailers. It was 52,000 pounds, which is about the biggest truck I have ever seen. And it was all what you call specials of Winn-Dixie products. And what you mean by specials is instead of getting one case of something, you might get 100 cases of it. And it's a separate type of billing. They do it, you know, special for you. So we got things like 400 cases of Czech drinks, you know, Coca-Cola, 100 cases of applesauce, and you forget what it says, 2,400 cans. And I just looked at Henry, I said, what is this, Henry? Why did you order this? He says, I didn't order it. Henry's a store manager. He says, Mr. Burns ordered it. And Mr. Burns is a supervisor. He's like head of all the store managers. Well, I had no idea where we put all this because 50,000 pounds.
Mr. Burns is the head of your store.
No, he's head of the store managers. Store manager runs the store. Mr. Burns runs the store managers.
Who's the store manager?
Henry Ibbotson.
Yeah.
Well, you get 50,000 pounds and that'll fill up the store. And I said, what are we going to do with this? He said, well, this is all going to be in displays. You see, at the end of each aisle, they have a big display. And it's a way of moving a product. If you just put a great big display out of it, you don't have to put a special price or anything on it. You can put it at regular price, and people seeing that big display will just buy it. It's just the way people are. So we've got these end displays that have got to be about 10 to 12 feet tall. With, you know, close to 100 cases in each.
It's still them?
Oh yeah, they'll keep them filled, see, they'll keep ordering and filling. But we spent all one Monday unloading this truck and just taking it right out on the floor and building these displays. And we got almost all of it out, which I was surprised. But I got pretty mad about it because I couldn't see why they were choosing our store to dump all this extra merchandise on. And I thought maybe Mr. Burns was mad at Henry and was just kind of and giving him the shaft by ordering all this merchandise. Because it meant I had to work Monday and then I had to work Tuesday to finish up. And that was my day off. And, you know, that was the week I ended up with 63 hours. Well, then I talked to my dad about it. And I found out that this was a thing that's going on in every store. This was a company-wide thing. And he was very enthusiastic about it. He was very excited about it. Well, how much merchandise they were going to sell and how much it was going to increase sales. And he says, now if you could just go to talk to Mr. Adams. And Mr. Adams, I guess, is the vice president or something. And he's, I guess, the guy that thought this up. He says, if you could talk to that man for an hour, you'd be so excited over this project that you couldn't put it down. He says, you have never seen anybody just get into this business like Mr. Adams can. So I felt kind of sheepish after that, because here I am getting mad at Mr. Burns, and Mr. Burns didn't have anything to do with it, really. He was just told to order a lot of this stuff and get it in the stores.
Yeah.
And I was having Henry's point of view, because Henry kept saying, we got 100 cases of this stuff. Now, when it's on sale, I can sell maybe 10 cases. What about do with this 90 cases? And, you know, after we built the displays, about a day later, Henry looked at it and goes, you know, that stuff is really selling. And it was. It was selling a lot better than I thought it would. Now, whether we get rid of it all, I don't know. I think they're going to run a big sale on it in about a week or two. A very big sale.
And clear it out?
Yeah. See, these are company products. Thrifty Made label is a Winn-Dixie label. So there's no middleman. The company makes it and sells it. So they can sell it pretty cheap. So I'm waiting on put it on sale at a real low price.
And that's about anything? They make about everything?
Well, they can do it with any of their products, but they usually just pick big sellers like grapefruit juice or fruit cocktail, things like that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The company products are the butt of most of the jokes in the store because they're not the highest quality. You know? And we're always kidding each other about, well, it's break time, let's go get some Fisher's beer. Well, mm-hmm. Fisher's beer is a company-made product. It's 99 cents a six-pack when it's regular price. On sale, it's 89 cents. Now, I've never had any because I'm afraid of it. But it's guaranteed to be the worst-tasting beer you can find. So,
it's
terrible. Mm. So when anybody feels bad or something, we say, well, you just perk up now. We get you some Fisher's beer and you drink a couple cans. You'll feel fine. Mm.
But not when your daddy comes home, you don't see him much.
No, because I'm gone in the mornings before he gets up. See, I'm usually, if I'm at work at 5, see, he doesn't get up till 6:30.
Oh, you have to go to work at 5?
Yeah, we usually start at 5 in the mornings, 3 days a week.
Oh, 3 days.
Mm. That's 3 days too many. And he'll come home, and he doesn't like to talk a lot when he first gets home.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been just, mm-hmm. people need him all day. And he's been chewed out quite a bit lately, too. So, Mom knows this, and then I just learned it from her, that when he comes home, you just leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll go and he'll, like, turn on the TV. And I used to complain to her. I said, you know, he just wastes his time watching the TV. And she just looked at me and said, he doesn't watch TV. He doesn't know what's on. He just turns that on, mm-hmm. and he sits down in that chair to relax. And I watched him, and that's what he does. He's not aware at all if the news is on or program or anything. He just sits in the chair, and he'll doze off. And then she'll call him for dinner, and just like that, he'll be wide awake. Sometimes we talk a little at dinner, but not that much. I guess he doesn't like to bring the problems home too much or talk about it at the table too
mm-hmm.
much. He wants to put it down and leave it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, see, he works so late. When I get off work and I haven't eaten all day and I'm hungry, so I'll eat. And then he may not get off till 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Late?
Yeah. So,
well, what's the use of being important? If you don't have to be pushed around like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think the whole thing that's hurt him a lot is the department's had a lot of trouble, been behind. So they brought a man in from Tampa to watch the operation and to make suggestions to get it going. Well, this man they brought in used to work for Dad, and Dad trained him. And yet, then they turn around and bring him back and say, well, Mr. Reynolds, this man's going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And Dad will say, well, hell, why don't they just come and ask me? I've been with this company going on 27 years now, and I can tell them what's wrong. He said, they won't listen to me.
And that needles him a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's what's hurting most about the whole thing.
He lets it get under his
skin? No, he doesn't anymore. He used to be something of a wildcat about it, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was really bitch at him.
Oh, you mean that's the story you wrote about?
Yeah.
Well, that's been a good while.
Yeah, ever since when he was young. He told me one time, he says, it's just been the last few years I've learned to control myself. Now, I never knew he'd get into it at work like that, but apparently he did.
Well, now, what'd you say, he just laughed, I go?
Yeah, matter of fact, he was telling me, there's a man named Harold Finley, who he has to answer to. And Finley takes care of the programming. See, he's up in Jacksonville. He's not head programmer, but he's in control of the data processing offices. And when something goes wrong, they go to Finley. And then Finley, you know, the bosses, the presidents will tell Finley to get it straightened out, and then Finley will go to the offices, like what Dad's office, and see that it's done. So Finley's been down quite a bit lately, and it's been really giving him a lot of trouble. In fact, he went into the division manager's office and bawled the division manager out, which was a very bad move on Finley's part. It's got Finley in a lot of trouble now. And so it's kind of like he's taking it out on Dad. So Dad just told me one night, says, I got chewed both ways by Charles and Finley, and that's been going on all day. And he says, so I just turned around to Finley and said, Harold, you know, if I didn't have any trouble, you wouldn't be here. Oh, no. So that's just the attitude he takes about it now. He says, I just keep joking with him, keep laughing, I don't want to get to him anymore.
Now that's not personnel, that's just the supply. It looks to me like the personnel is the place where they really have the trouble.
Well, that's what his trouble comes from, I think. If Doug was stronger, his second man, that's Doug, would push, I don't think he'd have as much trouble, but Doug won't. It's like a machine will break down, Doug might wait an hour or two before he puts in a call to have it repaired. And it may be another 2 hours before they can get a technician out there to work on it. And if that puts them 4 hours behind, when you're on a 24-hour schedule, there's no time to catch up. So, when you start working double time and overtime, and some of his problems, too, come from the fact that the Jacksonville office is the home office. And they figure out all the procedures and they send them down to Miami. Well, sometimes they send down procedures that won't work. And Dad says, we don't have time to test them. So we just plug them in and see if they'll go. And he says, you might get halfway through and the thing falls apart. He says, then you've got to stop and back up. And apparently, because of the way a computer works, you can't start in the middle of something. You've got to start at the beginning if it doesn't work. And sometimes they'll have to go and repeat a whole day's work.
Who is president of Wednesday?
Well, one of the presidents is Bert Thomas. He's like the head president. Then you got the four Davis brothers.
Who are the four Davis brothers?
They're the guys that started it. They started back in 1926 with one store. It was called Table Supply. And you know, funny thing is, the other day they had a weights and measures man who works for the state of Florida. He goes around store to store and checks the scales and the meat and the produce department to make sure they're accurate. And he was laughing. He said he used to work for Table Supply back in 26. And he says, I tell you, I got out of this business because I would make $2 on a Saturday working 22 hours taking inventory. Then I might make 50 cents on a Monday, maybe a dollar an hour on a Tuesday. He says, and then I found out that Papa Davis was getting all these groceries free, and Brother Davis was taking a lot of groceries home free, so I just started taking me home some free, too. Well, he wasn't too respectful, tell me.
Do you know that Davis was connected with the Santa Fe River Ranch?
You'd have to give me a first name. No. There's time.
No, he married her.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then he divorced her.
It was Austin Davis, M.A. Davis.
He was a big time cattleman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Still is.
There's some, one of them is, or two of them.
Oh, is it more than one?
Yeah. One of them has a ranch, and he raises all his beef and sells it to Winn-Dixie.
Oh, he raises the beef.
Mm-hmm. He's got a deal going. He owns the company.
Well, this is not the one. This one is purebred, and they have big shows, and they don't make anything. They just spend money on it.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. It's probably got two or three.
Deal.
No, there's not.
And the people like Martin would come up and buy a bull for $5,000 or $10,000.
Wow.
But he still wouldn't make money. Of course, then he'd go to another sale and do the same thing for them.
Well, I would think if the Davis brothers had a ranch or anything, it'd be for to make money. Because I found out that Winn-Dixie is really a pretty cheap company. I mean, they save a buck, they'll save it. Dad was telling me when they buy a semi, when they buy the trailer for a semi, he says, first of all, they get the cheapest stripped out model you can buy. And then they'll look into things like, is it cheaper to buy it with tires or without tires? He says, if they can buy it without tires and then get tires wholesale and put on it, he says, that's what they'll do. They'll buy the tractor without tires. You know, for years it was just the company that was like, you know, you respected the company. What the company did was right. Because the company, you know, supported you and they insured you and everything. But now I get into it and I find out that this is just not so. The company's done some dirty dealing and some, you know, a lot of politics in there.
Mean spirit.
Yeah.
When they didn't need to be.
Pardon?
When they didn't need to be.
Yeah. Well, at their convenience.
Making big money all the time.
Mm-hmm. It was like there was a thing going where they rent shelf space to like a milk company, and like Home Milk will deliver their milk, so they put it in this allotted space. And there were some kickbacks in there. Home Milk was paying Winn-Dixie so much to get more shelf space or something like that, and they got caught, and they went for I guess a grand jury or something. And I guess one man out of the company was picked to be the scapegoat, and he had to go before him. And my dad just told me one time, he said that it shouldn't have been that way for that one man to get on the stand and just be torn up like that. And I was surprised, and I said, you mean Winn-Dixie was doing a little some things illegal there? And he says, well, it was some kickbacks. That's all he said about it.
But he knows what goes on.
Yeah, he knows quite a bit. But he says, I got to keep my mouth shut. Because I'm in the middle, and I don't want them on both sides of me. So I just don't say anything.
Yeah.
He's got all that department under him. They can get mad. I mean, he's got division managers. He's got home office. You know, in his position, he can really get pinched.
Well, now he thinks that you ought to go in the grocery business.
Well, he thinks I should get into some business and settle down.
Well, what I mean, just whereabouts in that grocery business would he recommend?
Well, right where I am, starting at the bottom, so okay. Work up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's the only way you can keep moving. See, he started out in the office, just as an office boy,
yeah.
And then went to schools and learned data processing. Well, he can't move out of that. Because he can't be a buyer because he hasn't worked in the stores. Have you
worked in the stores?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing now. So.
Well, you're not working in the stores. You're just a stock boy.
That's working in the store.
Well, I don't think you have to handle that at all. You don't have the money.
No, well, but if I stayed with the company, I'd get, say, in about 6 months, I'd be promoted to assistant manager. I'd be a third man. And then it would be my responsibility to do the books and stuff a couple nights a week. The manager has control of it, but, you know, you have to close out your store every night. You've got to clear out the registers and find out how much money was taken in and how much you had to start with and do the figures balance out.
Yeah.
So that's where you start, handling the money.
Yeah.
And you work up, and you might get up to assistant manager, and then they'll take and put you in produce department. And then you work there until maybe you get your own rack, as they call it, where you have your own produce department. And it's your responsibility to see that you order enough produce and that, you know, you make about 10 or 11% profit. And after you do that for a while, they'll take and put you in the meat department. And then you'll learn to cut meat and run the department there. Then they'll give you a store. And you become a store manager. So you have a lot of training.
So you have to know right smart before you get to be store manager.
Yeah, you have to know the entire operation. You can get it without going through meat department. I don't think Henry's ever worked in meat department. But you've got to before you can become a supervisor. Because he has to know everything. If anything goes wrong in any department, he has to know what to do about it.
I've seen
supervisor come in and he'll just go down the meat case and look at the meat. And you can tell he's looking to see if it's been cut right and if it's dated right and if the case is displayed right. You know, you've got to know how it's supposed to be set up in the case and everything. Matter of fact, when we got all that special merchandise in, Mr. Burns was there to set up the displays and told where each display would go and how much would be in it and everything. Henry could do it, but Burns, it was his idea. So Burns dictated what was to be done.
That was all right.
Well, put it this way, Henry wouldn't say anything about it. You know, Burns
does
was
everybody
involved.
Have to have their own ideas all along the line? What difference make who had the idea?
Well, if it's your own store, you kind of want to have your own ideas.
Yeah.
It's like your baby. But you've got to stay within the company rules.
I'm wondering if I want any ideas. That's too much trouble.
That was what Henry told me once about Dean. He said, Dean was always coming up with an idea for this, an idea for that. And he said, he must have thought I was stupid. And he says, nobody's going to tell me how to run the store. Dean should have known that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dean didn't know what the company rules were. He didn't know what the policies are. And he says, I do, and I know what I can do and what I can't do.
Oh.
See, that's what really made Henry mad at Dean.
Oh, yeah.
See. Well, so Henry knows this, and Henry doesn't go to Burns and say, well, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. He knows what he can do without asking.
Well, now you see, that's entirely different relationship than anything I ever had. I don't know, but I know out here, Rick, in the countryside, it's a whole lot better to let the others do the talking and explain it. If I tried to explain something, see, it wouldn't go over at all. They wouldn't get it. They don't get it straight. They don't listen. They don't listen. Now, you see, out here, they know how to do everything. Put in posts. They know all those things. They know all there is to know. All those things. And there's nothing you can tell them. But that's hard. It's hard to tell anybody anything out here. I wouldn't undertake it anymore. But in a store, that's the assumption. You do what your boss tells you to do.
Right.
That's why you're hired and you're trained to do that.
Right. You just learn the company way, and then pass on when you're in a position to tell somebody what to do.
Yeah.
There's some leeway. It's like our store is an unusual store. I've talked to employees that worked at other places, and then I know I've worked at another store. And I don't know of any store that you have as much fun in, or that you can goof around as much in.
Oh, really?
But when Henry gets on the mic and tells somebody to do something, you know, says come up front and bag, or get the buggies rounded up or something, it's done right away.
Yeah.
See? They respect him. And at the same time, he respects us. You can take a little longer than 15 minutes your break. He won't say anything because he knows you'll get done.
Yeah.
Let them.
Where does he stay? Out of sight?
No.
He's always in sight?
No, he's usually around the front.
Yeah.
See? Well, he is no telling when it comes to the back room, but nobody gets worried or anything when he comes back.
But he's visible all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, when he's in the store.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be visible all the time.
Mr. Rogers has his little cubicle right there, and he just come in the front door, and he speaks to everybody. There were people that,
yeah,
you know, this
mm-hmm.
is this way. Yeah.
We've got an office in the store, but when you get in there, you cut off.
Look, right now, how much, with what you know, what would that help you down at John Palmer's general store?
I'm afraid he'd go against everything he does. You're just efficient in that store. You don't take a lot of time to talk to people because that time is money.
Well, this is not efficient at all.
Right.
And you take time to talk.
Right. I see.
But you still have to know something.
Yeah. To me, it would seem like just a different business entirely, because I don't, where I work, it's volume. It's how much you can sell. I don't think that would be the same way at Johnny Palmer's. And if we can't sell a lot of something, we won't keep it in the store. We'll get rid of it.
Well, I'm not talking about that, Rick. I'm talking about knowing about the stuff. Knowing about the stuff. If you don't know about it, you can find out about it, can't you?
Yeah.
You see, he can tell you what sort of nails to buy.
Yeah, yeah. Like people coming up and asking me what cake mix to buy. Well, I don't know anything about cake mixes.
Yeah.
I can tell them what the date is in the box and when it's too old to buy.
Yeah.
Or I can tell them which is cheaper. But that's about all I know.
Yeah. But I'm thinking about Ratliff now. You what you want to do? What you want to do is you've done that. You want to, you got to know the business in order to be useful.
Yeah.
To Miss Palmer and also to the customer. And if you stayed there a while, of course, you'd know more about it than they know. But you see, you've got the stuff out there that they're looking at, and you're talking about something else. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I was thinking about. Because I couldn't go that far. I couldn't say that. I would say, watch Mr. Palmer and see how he does.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the others and see how they do. That's it. You're not... you're not...
I'm not in a position to do that, though. Not down there, anyway. You know, because you're not where you can watch anybody.
Down there?
Yeah.
There you are.
I mean, I'm in the aisle doing my section.
You got no section down there.
Not Johnny Palmer's.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about down in Miami.
No, I don't mean that.
Well, Johnny Palmer's, yeah, that, there you would be.
The connection, you see, it seems ideal to me. He knows about meat, a little bit about meat, a little bit about cake mix. Of course, he don't have groceries to any great extent. And 3/4 inch pipe and all like that. But you're interested in that stuff, but you're interested in...
Yeah.
Now, see, I haven't got brains enough to do it. I hear the whole fucker talk.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. I'd sure love to do it. And go over to Tay Tay's store and see how it's going to go.
Hardware store in Miami Springs is kind of like that. Or I can go in and I know what I want, but I couldn't tell them the name of it. So I'll just go in and say, I remember just recently I had to put some new pipes in under the sink. And I came in with the old pipe, and it was a steel pipe. And I wasn't sure, but I figured that all water pipe was supposed to be brass or copper. And this piece is steel. And I said, I need one of these. He says, oh, that's an extension of them. I says, yeah, that's what I need. So he got me one out of steel, and I just said, you know, I'm working on my sink. He says, these steel pipes don't last too long. He says, well, no, that was outlawed a long time ago. They shouldn't be steel. I says, now, if you want them in brass, I've got it. I says, well, okay, give it to me back.
Of course.
Not anymore, really. But he just knew it. I can just about anything you want to do, you go in and tell them, and they'll know how to do that job.
Yeah.
See? And it would be nice if I could work in that hardware store. Because they've just got every knick-knack you can think of. That would probably be kind of like Johnny Palmer's guy, I guess.
Remember that conversation I overheard, and Johnny was on the telephone? Somebody had come in and asked for something, a pipe. And he said, Jim doesn't want that. And the fellow said, well, that's what he sent me for. He said, well, I'll just talk to him. Heard him on the telephone. He said, Jim, you don't want that size pipe. And he told him what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear him all over the store telling Jim what he wanted. And finally, he went out there and got it, right, what he needed, what Jim needed. And if that's not personal attention?
Well, he can visualize. He knows just what it is. On.
Yeah. So that's what Joe's daddy wants to do. You know, Joe Birch won the Stockman. His father's a contractor. He says what he wants to retire and open himself a little store, like a hardware store. He says, because he knows all that. He says he could advise people on whatever they wanted. He says then he could pick up little jobs on the side. Just retire that way.
Well, I think that'd be marvelous to have a little job on that. But you see, it's really not the little jobs that's interesting. It's glimpses they give you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You don't put in overtime. You go home, see? As you get to the store, you could eat at the hamburger joint and going out there with Joe and those fellas and shoot craps or something. Play poker. Bet on the chickens. Anything, you see, where you get the... Now that is what Mr. Patterson did. He had the spirit of the countryside. And whatever the countryside did, he excelled in. And he had done all those things. And he was good at all those things. Yes, he knew who made the best bootleg whiskey. All those things, see? All those things. Now I'm telling you about Mr. Patterson. I don't have much on him. But that's what he would do. And he was game. And he was right up. Yes, sir. I mean, he put that old dead eye on me many times. I'll say, you know what? I knew that I had better walk straight or else he would have me. That's way after you retired and everything. But now he had a... Oh, yes. I don't know anybody like that now. No, Mr. Dodd not like that. No. Mr. Dodd is interesting. And this boy has been over there now two Saturdays in a row. And he sees him clearer and in a different way from anything I ever saw. He's just a mere freshman. He's got the thing, and hey, read him. You at Marvin's. You didn't go to Mr. Dodd's.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, you see, if he, all this he's done carries him into systems.
Sure does. Mm-hmm.
Well, who gives a damn about all them systems?
Everybody I work for.
Yeah.
See, that's taking you away from what you want. All those things.
Mm-hmm. Big system to run a big store.
Mm.
Yeah.
What you want to do is and you see, you got nobody there. Actually, it's interesting.
No,
you tried your damnedest to make something of them, and you haven't made nothing of it. You struggle there with Dean. And you might, if you would back up for 5 or 10 years on Mr. Patterson, people like that, you might carry over some of it. I don't see, Faye, any remedy for it. I don't see, it looks to me like you've got to learn the countryside. I'm not laughing at it. I mean, serious.
Yeah, visible.
I'm not quipping about it. I'm talking serious. I don't see any substitute. I don't see anything interesting anybody does in your whole narrative. It's interesting just because that's the way people do these days, and you want to know how they do. But it's dull.
Well. Yeah, at the same time, I think just seeing him in the store is just one little part of him. And if you can get out.
But you don't want to get out. You don't want to.
Well,
you hide. You're like Ed Mark. He come over here, worked over here at the horse farm.
Uh-huh.
And then he went home and ate supper on the linen tablecloths.
Yeah, it was like I've been invited to eat. He did it with Joe a couple times.
You don't get invited to do that, Rick. You just go sit down and start eating. Just there, and they don't even have to say anything.
It's just they've got 9 kids, and I just didn't think I could handle that.
Why, God Almighty, say, what in the world is it? What in the world? It's like 9 kids. You'd certainly be at home in that crowd. 9 kids. Well, you just like 9 little pigs, David.
That's about it. See, his father, Joe told me his father was like 6 hours from his law degree and got married and had a child, and so he went into contracting to make some money.
Yeah. And still doesn't have a law degree.
No, he's got a big set of jurisprudence sitting there on his. In the house.
Well, that's interesting, but it's interesting. Such a sort of curious way.
Yeah, and I was afraid too. If I went in, they'd have me sell an Amway product, which is kind of like Avon sells perfume, and Amway sells these cleaning products.
Oh, and you sell a few.
It costs money to start selling them, that's why. Get involved with that voice. She kept telling me how I can make all this money and retire when I'm 50, and I didn't have to tell her that I didn't want to retire when I was 50.
God Almighty, you see, the first thing you'll do is to come up here and be Jehovah's Witness. They'll get you the right first sample right here. You got to be sporting. Yeah, be a good one. You got to take your own brains, Take your own brains to be a witness. I don't know about the Avon product. Because in the witness, it's all down that little book.
Yeah.
They just take turn about reading it. I've done that. I've gone to that study session. I'm spread too thin. all those little things. You read Whitman? Why, Rick, you was talking, you acted as if you had never read Whitman. You see, what is that? What was that word he used there? You see, you have got to be a part of this. How do you see that? You've got to be swished along with the currents of your age. What's that? Well, one of them is Avon Products.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
And all those nine children.
You do that, yes. But the thing of it is, you see, you've got to look at it. So you've got to duck out, but they wouldn't notice it. Long enough to get to your typewriter and say what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta look at it, you see. You gotta swim in the currents of your age, you see.
It might be very, very interesting to see Joe outside the store or pick any other.
Yes.
You know, you got this notion. I mean, this is a suit.
Yeah. He got. I bet you he has. I bet you that linen he sleeps on iron sheets.
No, his mama sees that he does.
That's true. I'm afraid that's true.
You are sleep with a hog or the dogs or something like that. Yeah. Now you see? Oh, goodness. I think all the beds I've slept on in my time. Beds and pallets and all like that. I never had a bed that was flat until I was. Whale. That is after World War II. You see, World War II brought civilization to a large number of people who never had it before or wanted it. You see, in here they had Fort Blanning, or Camp Blanning. And you see, they picked up all these little Jake leg, jerk leg, carpenters and all like that, and took them over there and called them carpenters first class, carpenters second class, carpenters third class, and all like that, and paid them high wages, and just took them out of the countryside over at Camp Blanning. They're never the same after that, you see. That just changed the world for them. They got a taste of that Camp Blanning money. And that kind of work. And up until then, all they had ever done was follow a view.
That's right.
Willie Chitty. That's what Everett said about Willie Chitty. He said before he went to the army, the only job he ever had was following a mule, and one of the first jobs he had was following a mule for his daddy, Everett's daddy. In other words, Everett was way ahead of Willie, and his daddy hired Willie to drive his mule for him, plow with his mule. But Willie has done those things. He has done other things. And he still teaches us. He not only teaches, he's a superintendent. He is a superintendent of Southern School. I think he's head of the Board of Deacons. But he's a roustabout. He has done everything. Willie. He you see, I can't talk to him now. I'm not on his list and all. But I wish I was. Oh, I wish I was. I never heard talk like he is. The rest of them just sound dull, except Mr. Patterson. Now, Mr. Patterson was the prince of the ocean. Mr. Patterson.
just a prince. Just no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. And he did that. He did that. And he maintained that feeling and that manner you see amongst the flattest-headed people alive. Most of his whole family just as flat-headed as they could be, but it didn't bother him at all. Now that is something I just don't understand. Now, I can see how a gifted fella could be gifted amongst gifted people, but not amongst the flat-headed. And he was. It didn't seem to bother him. He didn't even seem to notice it.
That's right.
Yes, huh? Money meant nothing to him except to get something with.
Hmm.
He never lacked. He never was lacked it. He never lacked money except during the Depression. And he's always on his own. And everybody borrowed from him and they never paid it back. And that's right. And that's right. I wish I knew a little bit more about him. You see, I don't have enough records about him to talk. Quite. I never could quite get it. Oh, you talk about it. Well, that's a long ways from
and what I was thinking about, you know, they just
it
could be Mr. Patterson and Rick's family down there, and he didn't know it.
Oh, yes. He'd run into all sorts of people. And look here, Rick, once you start, you see, you're actually not working with people, you're just putting away the cash. I mean, you're not working with them. You're not looking at them much. You're just sort of playing with them. But once you start actually looking at them, you see, you will make all sorts of things out of people. You will see so much in them. But you can't do it on the side when you're tired. You've got to have all your faculties.
Yeah.
That's it.
All your faculties. And you can't be like me, wore thin. I'm worn out. I'm spread a little thin now, and I don't make much of it. I don't think it matters where you are, right there. You do the same thing right there. No telling what you run into right there. I don't know. I think you ought to have a little feeling for the countryside because they're the genius of it. You see, it's more visible.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little bit more to go by when you get into the man-made places, you see?
I know one thing that I've wondered about is like Henry, our Starmander. It's a big horse man. And he raises and trains them and everything. And I keep waiting for some of this to show through. But it never does.
Well, now, did you see that little thing on the horses that she did?
No, I don't think I've gotten to that yet.
Well, and then you look at that little piece I wrote on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now that's you can see that easier away from there down there, Rick. You can see it better in the countryside. But you see a horse, maybe just like a pussycat. It depends on how they handle him.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't. I didn't realize. I knew there was great diversity in it, but I didn't know. I didn't know to the extremes of it until Suzanne wrote that little thing.
Hmm.
And that enabled me. That gave me a toehold in it. And I say, I'm not a horse man. I just try to keep out of the way. But you see, oh Lord, see, Faye, I don't know enough even to talk about it.
Well, you know, you treat a colt just like you would, as you say, a pussycat. Just sort of make a pet out of them, or you can really learn about horses.
May not be a horse at all, you see.
But learning and knowing something about horses, really learning something about horses, is not play. You don't just go out and rub your stomach every day, you know, make a pet out of them. So it's...
Yeah.
And you also, there's no way to learn about a horse except how to keep from getting killed by yourself. You need to have some, you need to talk to people who know. You know, you need some, these people who go out and say, I'm going to train a colt, and they've never trained a colt, they can do more to make anything but a horse out of a colt.
Yeah,
and they may have fun playing with them, you know. And they, that's what they want. I mean, then that's fine.
Race the cold. See what's on your other side. That's a good game. Great game. Race the cold. Well,
I think the thing with Rick is he's taken something that could be a real dull thing and he's looked at it.
Yeah.
Because it could really have been dull. For a guy in China, you know, he just wouldn't let it be anything over there be dull. Or he wouldn't look at anything that was dull.
Well, that's right. I've practiced that for a long time. And,
well, you know, I think about it, like, I have opportunity there to get into Joe. I mean, he'll say, like, well, we got a day off tomorrow. You want to just put some sleeping bags in the car and drive out the middle of the state? Well, I don't want to, because I know, well, with Joe, I feel like a lot of times it's, I've got a college education, he doesn't. And he'll come out with these things. Kind of an intellectual type thought. I put some of this down in it, and some stuff I wrote about.
Oh, really?
And it's really boring.
Yeah, I can see.
It's like
self-taught.
Self-taught?
I think it's worse than that.
Well, that self-taught stuff is as dull as you'll find.
Well, see, I feel like this is what he gets from his dad.
Yeah.
And, I just wish you could meet his father. I haven't even talked to him, but I just shook hands with the man, and I just felt like there's something there. And Joe's family is staunch conservative.
Hey, he never has been out to be anywhere, has he?
Uh-uh.
Hell does he know how to cut through and get these things? I'm the only one.
Well, I think you better just do that.
Well, I'm tired. I'm wore out.
Well, not tonight.
Suzanne did it in those little papers there. But you want to go around and see it done. I went around Saturday morning with Leonard.
Oh, I wish you could have been
did
there.
It everywhere we went. And it's just fabulous what you can make of it. Just fabulous. God damn, Rick, you can do that.
He just hadn't had
the indoctrination yet, had he?
Well,
he had
Wayne Dixon indoctrination.
So much.
But all that stuff he did last summer, I didn't have anything to do with it, did I? He went over there and worked with Marvin by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, if I'd been over there, Marvin had been a different person, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I can get him going. And old lady Guthrie, God almighty. Faye, tell him about that time. Don't you know those two boys are out there?
Well, he's just, just rises to this. You know, he just puts on a show when she's got an audience. That's the main thing. And it's when, you know.
And they was out there and nothing was happening. I just stuck my head out of the car, up above the car, and looked over there at her. And I forget what I said now. And I'll tell you, she started snapping things off. And they saw it. God Almighty. Yes. I'll tell you, what I've learned is that Suzanne can do that and keep her mouth shut. I can't. Alec goes over there, keeps his mouth shut, and all sorts of things happen. It won't happen for me. Not if I keep my mouth shut. I got to make it happen. So you see, there's different ways of doing it. And they're all interesting. So you don't have, there's no patent on it. But I'm telling you, when you see them come to life, it is something. Oh, it is something. God, Bill.
I think the young have to learn pretty soon how to, the guy calls it fend for themselves. In other words, stay out of these areas that you don't want to hear about. You know,
mm-hmm.
Without being obnoxious.
Well, you're almost assaulted, though.
Yeah, but there's ways. I don't know. I would like to know how the young can, because that guy can keep from doing it. He can, you know, manage it. He can just walk off, or you know, or he can beat him to the draw. But you haven't got that. The young haven't got that defense.
No, but you just have to suffer. That's all. Suffer.
It's like if I talk to Joe, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be things like, well. Does law or religion decide morality?
Yeah.
Nice, though.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And I go, well, that's a hard question. And it's like, if you've got a college degree, you're supposed to know these things. And I don't have to say that I don't care what you got, you're never going to know that. And it's you just can't do anything with it.
That's the problem, Faye.
Well, you see, one, as I see it, too, yes, it's the same similar.
And
the
same thing happened out here.
Yeah. And also, one of the first times I realized that was when Guy was trying to make contact with this, trying to get it, something going with this presiding elder, or whatever he was in the church. He was a Negro. And he just was beautiful in the pulpit. Just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down to talk. I went with Guy down to Ocala to talk with him. And the minute you see he wanted to solve the world problems or talk what he thought was on Guy's level, you see, there's nothing you could say.
He wants to talk my talk.
Yeah, and so this fellow, you know, he sort of wants to.
It's what they assume is your talk.
Yeah, what they assume is your talk.
It's not my talk. I mean, it's always the. It's always the comment coming up, wow, what college did you go to?
Yeah.
You know, if you make a good I just let it go by. But.
Well, there's a lot of pitfalls, but there's also a lot of people. A lot of fish to see. I don't know what, there's no answer to it. You see, a lot of places I can't go now because of that. They're traps, and I can't keep out of them.
Yeah.
You see, Frankie will bait me for being rich and one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
He and a professor.
Yeah.
He'll bait me. And you see, when he does that, I give it back to him right straight. Oh, verbally, I just knocked the fire coming and going. He said to me one time, He says, you say these people out here can talk. Looks to me like you can talk too. But I don't want to do that, you see. And every time I do that, I'm lost.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
I'm lost. So you see, we're all in. You got to keep moving. I think that's one thing. And two, I've got one. You see, if we go out together, we got a whole lot better chance. I've been out with Faye, and she sees things I don't even dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. And what you want to do, you see, and it won't last forever. You got to figure that. It won't last forever. You got to take your pay and go. What's the financial expression? You got to take your cut and go home.
Yeah.
What's the expression?
I don't know. I haven't heard that. That's not in our system.
You take your profit. You take your profit and let the other fellow have his.
Uh-huh.
And keep on. You keep on going. You had to be prepared to do that. I don't like to think of it that way, and I don't do it if I don't have to.
Uh-huh.
See, I'll stay right on. And put up with all sorts of things. And if Frankie's not too obnoxious, I'll overlook it. I'll say, you skin fan, tell me about this little foreign car you bought. And once you get him off on that, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. Once you get him off on cats and dogs and foreign cars and trucks and Uncle Jim's old shotgun, if you can just get him on those things and keep him from baiting you. But he's mean about baiting you.
Actually, I think this is...
And he's not just me, it's anybody.
Yeah. Actually, I think this is probably what...
And he's belligerent.
He's doing you, in a way, baiting.
Yeah.
In a way.
And it's gotten tight. I don't talk to him much anymore. I don't even be around him because I feel the tension. And I don't want to talk to him because I know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be politics. I have no feeling for politics.
Yeah.
I can't talk politics. I've tried. It just doesn't work. So I gave up on that real fast. Well, politics is that's his bag. He'll talk politics. And I cannot follow him.
I can talk politics. You haven't heard me talk to these people, right? He hadn't got started yet, Faye.
Well, I tell you, a couple of hours tomorrow.
No. I'll be goddamned if I go out in a couple of hours tomorrow. You don't learn anything in a couple of hours. You gotta live it.
Okay.
You gotta live it. You gotta live it. You can't just sample it. Oh no. No. I like. They perform. They have a time. They have a time. See, they got my whole attention, and I go right along with them. I don't perform, they perform. Oh, Jesus. It's rich. You see, you bring out the best. That's what it's like.
Well, I can't get them to. I can't.
Tapes. The tapes. They don't seem so to you. You know, you have to get used to them.
Yeah.
But now that little tape, Mr. Eastman's a doofus. And nobody's ever seen him like that. They can't see for one thing. And they don't know how to talk to him, so he can do that. Nobody has seen him. Nobody he ever knew has seen him in that way. That's right. And you see, I've been working on that steady since the fall of 68. I've hardly done anything else day or night. Once I got a little toehold, it was so fascinating I just didn't have a